D1, number 19A.
Now, the subject is so vast that I just don't get on with my subject. But I had a feeling I should end this weekend with this subject on the levels of science. So I have to cut out various aspects. And I think the one I might be entitled to cut out in this audience is perhaps the explanation of the ascending stage, especially in regard to the level of Christian Science, because this is a subject which most of the people present have been studying over the last years. So I just quickly indicate the line of ascending thought so as to give afterwards more time for the descending thought. The ascending is the way of understanding. We have seen that mankind has come out of a dark, archaic, magic, mythological consciousness, breaking through in the scientific age into more logical thinking and understanding. And in that age in which we lived, which just happened during the last 20 seconds in our timetable, we have come out of mythology with its mystical way of unification with the Infinite One, into a realization that ideas operate orderly and understandingly. And so the prophets have written those days of creation just at the same time when in Greek the first tentative steps were being done to introduce science to the world. The prophets presented spiritual science, spiritual understanding. And with the days of creation, as we have seen, they symbolized the way how we can rise out of the ignorance and mist into enlightened understanding. That this way is the way of the seven stages as symbolized in the 7 days of creation, that every understanding starts with some measure of light that comes to us, that that light can't help but develop in consciousness, second stage, so as to identify itself clearly, unmistakably in the third day. That this light is not just a light which belongs to us, but which is the light of principle. So the fourth day gives us that insight that everything that has the indication of an idea is an idea of principle and operates according to principle, governed by principle. And that its mission is that in the fifth stage it lifts us out of the mortal concept and mortal consciousness right out into the heavens. So that this consciousness gives us in the sixth day a measure of dominion over the world, and hints to the seventh day of union with God, of oneness with God. That which the Hindus and Eastern philosophy tries to achieve through meditation to get into the nirvana, which would be the equal to the seventh day, The scientific age of the Western has an ordered understanding of these stages, so that through scientific, logical, but spiritual understanding, he reaches a sense of oneness with God, which is not mystical, but which has the touch of science. This ordered approach has been revealed first to John Dorley as the ordered way of enlightenment. It is the word order. This word order afterwards has revealed that these days are not really days, that they only appear to us as stages of unfoldment, but that they are truly numerals of infinity, that they are not existent in time, but existent in being, and therefore have no time concept within themselves. That brought us to the realization that these days are really not days, but identities of being. We call them numerals of consciousness, numerals of infinity, ideas unchangeable in their being. When John Dorley has seen that, but each one of us somehow goes through the same generic process, when it has been seen that these days are not days, but numerals of consciousness, ideas of consciousness, then thought can rise to the point of seeing them as ideas of synonymous terms, that ideas are always ideas of their principle, and therefore that these seven numerals of consciousness symbolize the synonymous term. And at that moment we touch science. And the moment we touch science, the synonymous terms, as in the sixth day, then naturally we touch the whole realm of the calculus of infinity. Then it was revealed that these synonymous terms operate not only in the word sense, but in the four senses of the word order, the Christ order, the Christianity order, and the science order. What does that mean? It means that in that ascending understanding, that the moment we touch the word order and get the sense that each revelation and each new vision is one with its principle, and that demonstrates life, truth, and love, that has within itself the power of the Christ, namely that this understanding can demonstrate itself in spite of the human. So the Christ order became practical to us, because it revealed that the eternal principle, which always says of itself, I am life, I am truth, I am love, says always, and that is the fact about every situation, and therefore translates itself to every situation by bringing out through soul its identical nature everywhere. Therefore, through spirit, diversifying and classifying its ideal to the point of individualized idea, so that the ideal of life, truth, and love through soul and spirit is infinitely individualized as the ideal idea, and therefore manifest as idea through mind. In that way we have seen that every time we touch the word order rightly, up to the point of seeing it as an idea of principle, which is life, truth, and love, that very moment it has the Christ fact and translates their physical evidence out of itself into the manifestation of the true idea. What idea? How big is an idea? And that brings us to the Christ order, which always answers that enormous question, how big is an idea? Christianity, did I say it right, the Christianity order? Christianity shows the bigness of the idea. The focal point is idea. And through the Christianity order we can perceive something of the magnitude of the idea. The magnitude of the idea, which says each idea is an idea of principle. So it starts with principle. Each idea being the idea of principle, and principle being the only principle, is all. Every idea, therefore, is an idea of allness, of infinite allness. It isn't just an isolated idea, but it's an idea that is right there, every present, in the infinite all. And because this idea is the idea of principle and is all, it is therefore identified with every other idea. We can't have an idea which is not somehow linked together, somehow in cooperation with every other idea, because each idea has its identical nature with its principle, and so each idea is linked together with every other idea, which makes us see that therefore each idea being linked together with every other idea must reflect the infinite one in every time in a new way, in an infinite way, in a fresh way, that its reflection is infinite. What does that idea reflect? Does that idea just reflect an idea? No. It reflects the whole. It reflects life, truth, and love. So the bigness of an idea is seen that it has its qualitatively the same nature as its principle. So through the Christianity order, we really broaden out our consciousness of the bigness of an idea, until we see that an idea is qualitatively as big as life, truth, and love. And therefore, each idea demonstrates the whole of the person of God, of life, truth, and love. Then thought says, but where does this idea demonstrate itself? Where does this idea exist? And so thought comes to the science order and shows that each idea is a factor in the divine principle, that each idea is operating within a system of the divine principle. See, up to now we haven't seen that. Again, the Word has led us out of mist and darkness and ignorance to the reception of some gleam of the nature of God. Then the Christ shows that every gleam which we get of an idea of God has a Christ power in itself, that it destroys an illusion in spite of the mortal. We ask ourselves, and this idea which dissolves an illusion, how big is this idea? And the Christianity order explains us the bigness of that idea, until thought arrives at that point where it sees the bigness of idea is the bigness of God, qualitatively. But then we come to the point where we feel that we must know what this idea is doing, how this idea is integrated into the one being. And so the science order comes and explains to us how this idea is operating within the principle of being. It operates as an idea of principle, first as soul and life, namely as soul, as identities which are unchangeable and eternal, life. So we begin to realize that those ideas which we have touched are numerals of infinity, namely unchangeable facts of being, that every idea is really a numeral of consciousness which has undestructible, unchangeable identity. Those identities of being which constitute really being. Because we have seen being is constituted of ideas, and these ideas are identified ideas of being, soul and life. But these identities of being are not static. They operate infinitely by reflecting each one infinitely, and so spirit, and so bringing out always new computation, new forms of truth, new calculations of truth. So we have spirit and truth as the calculus of ideas. They are not just numerals. They operate infinitely as a calculus of ideas. For what should they operate as a calculus of ideas? For the sole purpose of bringing out the specific demonstration within the one plane of being. Each calculation has a purpose, love, which is adapted to the situation, mind. So that we can see that this infinite calculus of being, which operates within that principle, is the solution to every situation. It's the metaphysical mind solution for love for every situation. And all this is one omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, omniactive operation of the one and only principle. And then thought comes at rest and says, oh. Therefore, all that is ever going on is that one principle operating as the infinite idea in system and in science. This is how, in the ascending way, thought grasps the level of Christian Science. But when thought grasps clearer and clearer the level of Christian Science, something within ourselves says, but does that being and principle know anything about ignorance, error, sin, disease, death, lack, poverty, and so on? And thought rises in understanding and sees that if we drop the mortal concept and lift up our consciousness higher, that then we only see that all that there is going on is the essence of being, namely life, truth, and love. Life, truth, and love, the essential nature of the level of absolute Christian Science. And thought begins to realize that this is the nature of being. The nature of being is life, truth, and love, not mind, spirit, soul. Mind, spirit, soul then is seen to be those terms which are necessary for the human understanding in order to counteract human mind and mortal mind, to counteract the belief that there is a material universe as reality, and to counteract the belief in the testimony of the physical senses. But in pure spiritual reasoning, there is only life, truth, and love going on, expressing them infinitely as the ideas of life, truth, and love. Mind, spirit, and soul are only the way to reach principle But what is demonstrated eternally is only life, truth, and love. We don't demonstrate mind, spirit, soul. We always demonstrate life, truth, and love. Mind, spirit, and soul were the ways of clarifying unillumined thought so as to grasp, finally, the true nature of being as life, truth, and love. And in the measure as we see that nothing is going on but life, truth, and love, expressing themselves as infinite manifestations and ideas of life, truth, and love, then thought rises to say, but does the infinite know himself as idea, or does he know himself as himself? The moment we answer this question and see that the infinite is always conscious of himself as a whole, we come to the plane of divine science, of oneness, where we see there is just one life, and not life infinitely individualized as infinite lives, not truth infinitely individualized as infinite truths, not love infinitely individualized as infinite loves, but that there is just one life. And so we touch the plane of divine science. And if we see that there is only one life, one truth, one love, somehow, sooner or later, something within ourselves says, is that religion or is that science? Science does not know life, truth, love. Science is a principle, and it's just principle. Life, truth, and love are divine names for principle. And thought touches science itself. One infinite principle. Then, through understanding, we have reached the Christian science nirvana. It's the nirvana which we understand, which we have touched through reason, logic, understanding, pure, unemotional reasoning, and not through mysticism. This is, in a few words, what I think we have been studying all the past 20 years or so. We see it is a way of ascending, just as in Jesus' life it is a way of ascending. As long as he was with us on the human plane, he was demonstrating Christian science, the power of life, truth, and love over sin, disease, and death. Demonstrating it in spite and contrary to the testimony of the physical senses, so showing that spiritual facts are reality and not matter is reality, spirit, and manifesting themselves with power in spite of everything, mind. But when he rose higher in the understanding where he said, you can't come with me where I go, he rose to the plane of absolute Christian science, where he demonstrated through crucifixion, in the grave, and resurrection, absolute Christian science. Namely, that then the material proposition was no problem for him. He walked through the walls. He overcame time. He demonstrated absolute Christian science. And in his ascension, I think, he demonstrated divine science, where as an individual expression of life, truth, and love, he disappeared into that Christian science nirvana of the divine science and science itself, where the Christ stands there as the idea of the divine principle eternally at work. The ascension was not the end of Jesus' mission or of the Christ mission. To human sense, we usually make that as the end of his mission. But his working went on over centuries and thousands of years, appearing on the Pentecostal days, appearing to Paul, appearing to John the Revelator and dictating him the revelation, appearing as Christian Science, appearing always, the Christ has no end. That's the science of it. Now, we can see that in this ascending stage, it is as if some time concept still comes in as something that goes on in time as we rise and so on. But truly and naturally, these stages have nothing to do with time. When an idea breaks on thought, then it first comes to us as an improvement of the human. It seems as if the human, the material, would be improved. That's Christian Science stage. And we like it, we call it healings, we call it overcoming of this and the other difficulties, until finally we say, but that is not the purpose of Christian Science. And thought touches absolute Christian Science and sees that that which was at work as the improvement of the mortal were ideas of reality, and as such ideas they had absolute nature in themselves. That the true purpose of Christian Science is to demonstrate God and not an improvement of the mortal. And then thought sees, oh, if these were factors and divine absolute factors, then these must be one with its principle. And thought somehow touches divine science, where we see the idea in its principle and one with its principle, included in its principle. Finally, thought says, all right, then from everlasting to everlasting, nothing went ever on but the divine principle, operating infinitely in the divine one. Mrs. Eddy says, science is demonstrated by degrees. And our demonstration rises only as we rise in the scale of being. So as we rise in understanding, in that measure we rise in demonstration. The descending. What is the purpose of the descending way? It is to translate the ever-operative divine principle to the point of idea and the power of idea dissolving illusions. That's the descent, that's demonstration. From the point of view of science, principle is always conscious of itself. It's conscious of itself as one infinite ideal. Which ideal? The ideal of divine science, of life, truth, and love.